There have been lots of stories lately about AI, artificial intelligence, and with us to, I hope, explain, among other things, what GPT is and whether computers are taking over, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. And Scott, I can't tell you, all of a sudden, never heard of it, and then it seems like every day I hear something about GPT. And I hope that you can explain this.
I will do my absolute best. So ChatGPT is the thing that's getting all the attention. It's basically a computer program that people are using to do everything from writing emails to resumes to complete essays, and it even generates computer code. Pretty much if you think it, it can do it, and that's the scary part. And there's a lot of power in these tools, but these tools are not ready to stand alone just yet. It is, though, and it could continue to be the foundation for automating all sorts of things.
Amazing stuff. These tools have to be powerful. There was a story this week about an AI passing the bar exam.
There was, and I laughed at that, and I'm still laughing, as you can see, because of course it did, because someone had to try that, right? And I believe actually ChatGPT's grades range from like a B to a C minus. So you could technically say that you could become a lawyer through the use of AI, but here's the thing. The human element is still required, and until someone convinces me otherwise, it always will be. And I often like to find comparisons to explain things, and to me, ChatGPT, it's like a self-driving car. We all think they're coming in a few years. I actually believe they're much further away, but the technology wows you at just the right time. But without the human driver ready to take the wheel, it's not quite ready for prime time. So passing the bar is only one part of being a lawyer, right? You still need the human to passionately argue the case in court. And I just want to say, don't get me wrong. I see the potential in this like everyone else. It's huge. But when used correctly, these tools have the power to do great things. As a society, I think we're great at jumping into things too quickly.
Hmm. And what about the work that you do, Scott, with this ChatGPT and tools like that mean for social media?
I honestly, Bob, I think about it all the time because it's seen what's possible. But I take great comfort in knowing that, like the car and the lawyer example, there's no substitute for the human element in digital marketing. But I want to stress something really important here to answer your question. There are going to be plenty of people who will try to convince business owners otherwise. I'm willing to bet you'll be wowed by talk of scale and automation and saving money. But here's the reality from someone who's been doing this since Twitter was a few months old and Instagram was years away from being invented. I know that right now I could get an AI, ChatGPT or whatever, to write 25 pretty well-constructed social media posts. But if I were to leave that AI unattended because I think writing 25 posts is enough, I'd be sorely disappointed because the minute something goes wrong, like someone reads something into the post that causes it to go viral for all the wrong reasons and it ruins the business, or a post that goes out at the exact same time of a national tragedy, that's when the realization hits that there's no substitute for someone like me. And the bottom line to me is because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Sometimes there's no substitute.
And I don't know if you can answer this, Scott, but when I started hearing about this, and then I would hear people talking about buying certain stocks or what companies are behind this, is this a situation where you have a Steve Jobs or you know, somebody else who is really at the forefront of this invention? Is it like that?
That's a really good question. I don't think that there's one person that's surrounding the invention. Like a Steve Jobs at his time, you know, he was like, you know, this visionary kind of person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
ChatGPT is its own company. There's actually a Google version of ChatGPT that they're talking about releasing, but it hasn't happened yet. So no, I don't think there's one person, but you know, for stocks, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be companies that are going to come out ahead of this, but this is like the very, very beginning of the process where one company may take hold or it may be a bunch of companies that end up taking hold because one does it better than the other.
Hmm. Talking social media with Scott Kleinberg. Scott, tell us about the media companies that have experimented with AI.
Yes, sure, Bob. So CNET, which is a technology blog website, they've been in the news for testing AI to write stories. BuzzFeed, you may know them for their quizzes, has said that it's excited about implanting it into their workflow. So there's no doubt in my mind that as an element, it can be valuable. But we keep coming back to how this conversation began. It's not ready to run all alone yet. So the student driving bike training wheels portion of the ChatGPT roadmap, I think it's going to take some time. Now, here's some good questions to think about. Will people push those boundaries? Absolutely. Will some succeed? Undoubtedly. But in social media and marketing, it's not that black and white. It's much more nuanced. And I'm not just saying that, Bob, because I'm worried about you replacing me with AI. I say it because I've seen what can happen when there's not a strong driver at the wheel of new technology. That is such a key. But, you know, but one thing you can always say about technology is that it matures. So only time is going to be able to tell where we go from here.
But it's only as good as the people who program it, isn't it?
And that, Bob, is an excellent point. And, yeah, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because, you know, anyone can think about Wikipedia. Anyone can update a Wikipedia entry. But Wikipedia works because it's a community of people dedicated to ensuring the content is correct. The difference here is ChatGPT is picking up content from all sorts of places. And I really want to put an exclamation point on this question because I'm so glad you asked this. I saw something the other day on Facebook where someone posted that ChatGPT thinks 435 North Michigan Avenue is known as the John Hancock Center. There's two problems with that. One, the John Hancock Center is no longer called that. They renamed it 875 North Michigan in 2018. And two, whether it's a newspaper or now it's luxury apartments, 435 North Michigan is Tribune Tower, and it's been so since the 1920s. So to that point, technology is definitely only as good as the people who program it.
And it's pretty easy to experiment with this stuff if we want to, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And if you want to do that, I would Google ChatGPT. You'll quickly get a sense of what you can do. And you go down a rabbit hole pretty fast. But it's definitely pretty cool. And it's definitely going to give you a taste of things to come tomorrow and years down the road. I honestly believe when it comes to this type of technology, AI, VR, you know, anything like that, slow and steady is ultimately going to win the race.
All of this makes me think of how we value more than ever now in this era of great technology advances, the human element. I mean, we long for the personal customer service that's not a recording, that's not automated. I remember many, many years ago when tape players and high-tech sort of playback systems went into cars, and people were saying, well, that's it. Nobody's going to listen to radio anymore. Well, people still wanted a companion, a real person there. So there is that, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, what was that old song? You don't know what you got till it's gone. I mean, it's exactly that. Like, you really don't realize until it's gone. Right now, we're being wowed by the fact that it's a shiny new technology. When business owners hear things like, I can save you millions of dollars because instead of having employees do this, we could have a machine do it. Yeah, it sounds pretty amazing until you realize what's missing, as you said, the human element.
We need it, and we want it. All right, let's open up the Genius Bar. One of our listeners sent us this question for you, Scott. They administer a Facebook page, and they run fundraisers and collect money on the page, but they're not able to access the money collected from those fundraisers. How do they get the money? I'm not sure I understand this. Do you?
Well, I do, and it depends if there was a problem in this process. But when you have a fundraiser, you have to set up the accounts payable section. There's like a bank account page that you have to set up to receive the funds. It goes through like a payment processing center, and then they put it in your bank account. So you have to actually set up this account. So the first thing that you should do, and I'm assuming this hasn't been done yet, what you need to do is you need to go to the settings section of Facebook, whether you use your mobile device or your desktop, visit payment settings, which is part of the settings menu, tap payments, and then tap account settings. And under there, that's where you'll find whether or not there is a bank account connected to your Facebook account. It's possible that that setting was never turned on because a lot of people are very hesitant to put that type of information in Facebook, although it's safe because it goes through a third-party process. But then you can do things like PayPal and debit and put things in your checking account. So that's the first place to start to make sure that's set up under the settings menu.
The solution to a lot of these problems seems to be when you have some free time, just go to various settings and cruise around there and find out what you can do, and you'll get an answer. And here's one more for you. I'm not sure if this is something that comes with a new phone, but I've noticed this on my iPhone. All of a sudden, some older emails reappear at the top of my emails, and it'll say follow-up. What's that all about?
That is a brand new feature. It is new in the Mail app on iPhone. It is with the new software. So it's not necessarily the new phone, it's the new software. And basically, it's serving as a reminder to say, you sent this email X number of days ago. You haven't heard anything back. Do you want to follow up? That's what the little follow-up symbol is supposed to be. What I have not found yet, I'm guessing that this exists somewhere, and I'm going to look for this. I've not found the setting yet that lets you change the number of days until it pops up, because on mine, it pops up after 4 days. I don't know why four. I feel like if I'm going to follow up with someone on an email, it'd be depending on the situation. Usually I'm going to wait a week unless it's really urgent. So I'm going to look in settings and see. My guess is that, and you were just talking before about going through and cruising through settings and see what's there. My guess is that it's somewhere under the mail settings, under settings mail, that would say follow up, and it would say how many days do you want in between, or do you want to turn this feature off? I can't believe that there's not a way to turn it off if it annoys you. But, yeah. But for people who like to be organized, it's great.
Yeah, that's what I want, the off switch. Scott Kleinberg, thank you. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.